This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's time for Dodger Baseball.
Welcome to Dodger Stadium.
Dodgers win!
This is the golden age of Dodger Baseball.
It's a double for Freddie.
They're going to make big signings. They're going to make impact trades. This is the most anticipated season in Dodgers history.
Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Big blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
What is up, Dodgers Nation? Welcome to another episode of the Dodgers Nation post-game show. Thanks for rocking with us. After the Dodgers get the dub, they win by a final score of 4-0. They beat the Cincinnati Reds. They've now taken 2 out of 3 from Cincy. They improved to 31-17 on the season, 7.5 games up on the San Diego Padres in the National League West. And of course, you know, we get to start how we start the show. Let me know where you're representing Dodgers Nation. Also, give me your player of the game. Give me your Dodger dog of the game. And give me your biggest takeaway. And also, if you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the number one Dodgers YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. Hit that like button. Also, comment Go Tani down below so you're eligible to win our next giveaway, which comes at 95,000 subs. We're giving away a road gray Shohei Ohtani authentic Dodgers jersey. But the top story today in this game, the biggest takeaway is Butane is back. Walker Buehler was outstanding out there on the mound today, his best start in 2 years. And of course, he's come back from that Tommy John surgery. Of course, it's going to be a process. I see people out there saying he's more of a pitcher than a thrower. Look, the reality is he was doing this even before he was injured. Back in the last time we saw Walker Buehler out there before the injury in 2022, you saw less four-seam fastball. You saw more knuckle curve. You saw more cutter and more slider. This is just the evolution that started even before he was injured. So the truth is, this actually isn't anything new when you look at the pitch mix, but the command is much improved. Tonight, Walker Buehler, 0 walks. Tonight, 16 for 21 on first pitch strikes. If you look at his line on the evening, he goes 6 innings, allows no runs, 3 hits, 7 punch outs, throws 78 pitches, 55 for strikes, so at 70% for thrown strikes. And Walker Buehler was painting corners. He was using that four-seam fastball at the bottom of the zone. He was getting cutter at the top, some chase with that. You saw him just dotting the knuckle curve on the inside quarter. Got 2 punch outs with that with Elly De La Cruz. You look at the pitch mix as a whole from him, and you see Walker Buehler 2.0. You see the reinvented butane. We're talking about low-octane butane. No, it doesn't have to be the case. It's a just different level of repertoire. Tonight, 7 punch outs for Buehler. Well, guess what? The majority of them weren't from that four-seam fastball. Just 1 of those 7 came with the four-seam fastball. 3 via the knuckle curve, 2 via the slider, 1 via the four-seam, and 1 via that cutter. So we're going to break down Walker Buehler's outing. We also have an update on Bobby Miller, on Evan Phillips. Clayton Kershaw was on the mound throwing a bullpen at Dodger Stadium today. But let me know down below, what are your biggest takeaways? Buehler looked unbelievable. That's from David Sabatini. We got Ray Soto. I got Smith bobblehead. Give me 1,500. I get Ray Soto. That's a fire take. You guys got my bobblehead today. Jason Diamond, send Vargas back to Myers. Already almost screwed the team by almost killing Páez. Yeah, that was definitely a moment that you did not like to see tonight. And there was clearly some miscommunication between Andy Páez and Miguel Vargas. And it was definitely a scary situation. Them almost colliding. And thankfully, there was no issues there. There was no issues there, and no one got hurt. They did not collide, but definitely I was holding my breath. I was definitely a little scared to see that after Fraley. It was a 2-1 count there in the 5th inning, and he hits one right there to left center. You have Páez, the captain of the outfield. He has the first call on that ball, and he was probably calling off Miguel Vargas there. Vargas kind of goes a little too deep on it and almost collides with Andy Páez, and it goes as a triple for Fraley. But thankfully, there was nothing bad that came from that, and Walker Buehler was able to settle down. He got Candelaria to foul to catcher, and he got India to ground to second to get out of that inning unscathed. But Jason Diamond, yeah, I'm with you. That was a scary moment there with Andy Páez and Miguel Vargas. And look, I think for me, it's you just have to chalk that up to Miguel Vargas has been out for quite some time, and he has missed significant time at the big league level, and left field is not his natural first position. But still, you definitely want to see a little more savvy play from Miguel Vargas and just realize that, look, the center fielder has dibs on that ball. Let's take a look at the play you guys are talking about, though.
Yes. Páez puts his arm up, and he's probably got a verbal going. You see, he's got the arm up. You just got to keep the arm up, right? He had it up, then he put it back down.
Number three,
Sheeler. Man, oh, man, just a couple inches off there, and those guys are running right into each other. You could see a concussion. You could have seen a broken rib like we saw when Gavin Lux ran into Cody Bellinger a few years back. But Craig Osterberg, the knuckle curve was great. Yeah, that knuckle curve, just an extremely, extremely effective pitch for Walker Buehler in this one. And that's going to be what's going to make him a different pitcher at this stage of his career is – is he going to be able to completely rely on his repertoire like that and just completely say, you know what, I've had my stint as, and let's take a look at some of Walker Buehler's highlights tonight. I've had my stint as a power pitcher that gave you double-digit strikeouts that can work at the top of the zone. Right now, though, that's not the version of Walker Buehler that we're seeing, right? We're seeing a Walker Buehler who is completely evolving as a pitcher and someone who realizes what he needs to do to be effective at this stage of his career. And I think that to me was my big takeaway tonight with Butane. You see here, I mean, that knuckle curve, bottom of the zone, right on the corner. You see him, like Dontrell Willis like to say, live low and live long. Hey, stay down and stick around, right? I mean, you see down in the zone, curveball down in the zone. And then once he establishes that, you saw right there with that cutter up in the zone later in the game, that cutter to get forward, all those pitches down the zone, it sets it up to change those eye levels. And then you can work 91 with a cutter and use that pitch differential as far as the miles per hour goes. So I think that to me is really one of the big things for Walker Buehler is if you look at tonight, he goes 32% four seam fastball, topping out at 97.1 miles per hour, average 94.9. Velo is a little down tonight, but you look at the curveball. I mean, that's averaging 78.5 miles per hour. When you're taking that much off for the curveball, you can work with that as long as you're commanding the baseball. And that's what we saw today. 95 works when you command it, right? 96 works when you command it, and he was certainly doing that tonight, and that really was the big difference. And you saw it just at the top of the game. I mean, he was locked in. He was so dialed in just to start this game. The first inning, he goes 1-2-3 on seven pitches, gets Benson to ground to second. Then De La Cruz, he gets him to line to center. He gets Ford swinging with a knuckle curve down in the zone. Then you jump to that second inning, goes 1-2-3. He gets Steer to ground to third. He gets Stevenson to ground right back to the pitcher. You saw some nice defensive plays from Walker Buehler. Good athlete, good reaction time. Then he gets Fraley to ground to first. So 1-2-3 first, 1-2-3 second. You saw the pitch count was down. Then you jump to that top of the third inning and he gets Candelario to ground out, and then he gets India looking at that slider down in the zone. And you look at the way he got him on that slider. You look at that pinpoint precision there with that slider and the way he hits him. I mean, the way he can dot that on the corner and use both sides of the plate, that's going to be the difference. And you saw it on display tonight, and that's why I'm so encouraged by this version of Walker Buehler, because this is not a guy who has Noah Syndergaard-itis, who you're trying to find Doc Brown's DeLorean and go back in time and be a pitcher that you once were. Walker Buehler has accepted early on that he has to adapt, that he has to reinvent himself, and he's already started the transition of doing that. He's already going through that process, and that is what a mature pitcher who knows his limitations is. And look, Walker Buehler is not going to be super ace number one, right? But he has nights like tonight where he looks like a number two, where he looks like an ace, right? And that's exactly what you want, and you do it through being a little more crafty, knowing when to pick your spots, knowing how to work your mix, and that's what was so impressive about his outing tonight. We got Kelly Oshiro. Pajes needs to take control and center. Two plays, him and Vargas, and then once with Teo, he let Teo take it, but it was his ball. Kelly, yeah, I noticed that tonight. I was going to use that for one of my things I didn't like about this game, and I think Pajes will learn that, look, you are the captain of that center field, and at the big league level, you absolutely have to take more charge. You have to be a little more assertive, and I think also you just have to be a little more vocal, and we know that this team has turned the Pajes on the outfield situation, and they are going to give him this extended runway, but defensively, I absolutely totally agree with you. I'm going to give you a fire take that one. Kelly Oshiro, that, yeah, absolutely, that's something that you want to see him do, is just get a little more comfortable in that role, right? And then Walker gives up a single to Herdebees. That pitch, sinker, left a little up, but then he bounced back and he got Benson swinging on a full count, seventh pitch of the at-bat, and it wasn't four-seam fastball up in the zone that we saw for so many years with that perceived rise. It was four-seam dotted at the bottom of the zone. So that is where that four-seam is going to play now. Not necessarily up in the zone, attacking hitters, getting them to swing underneath with that high spin rate. It's dotting it at the bottom of the zone. That is the big difference for him. You look at that whole sequence right there. The fifth pitch of the at-bat, he's going knuckle curve bottom of the zone, then goes cutter inside right close to the black right there, and then he sets up for that 97 looking at the bottom of the zone. So you can see him mentally sequencing these at-bats, and that's what makes it so special, is you just don't know what you're going to get from Walker Buehler these days. I mean, 32% four-seam, 21% knuckle curve, 18% cutter, 14% sinkers, 9% changeup, 6% slider. It's a grab bag now. It's a grab bag now with Walker Buehler, and that's how he's going to be able to be effective, and that's how he's going to be keeping hitters off balance with that more diverse repertoire of pitches. Luke Walker Buehler, what's up, Chancha? Barinche's official. Anthony King. Yo, D-Mac. What up, Anthony King? I haven't seen you in a minute, my guy. I'm going to give you a you win for that. No more Ortega. Freddie has been hitting better lately. Yeah, Freddie Freeman. He was big tonight. He gets a... He comes through with runners in scoring position. And yeah, you're right. Freddie Freeman has been a lot more productive at the plate lately. I like what Joe Davis said a few games ago, where he's the most miserable 300 hitter in the game. And that's the standard that he holds himself to. And tonight, Freddie Freeman goes 2-for-3 with an RBI and a walk, so he reaches base three times. And with Mookie Betts out tonight with a scheduled day off, you needed one of those guys at the top of the order to really step up, right? Ohtani goes 0-for-4. Smith goes 0-for-4. Muncy's injured. Teo goes 1-for-3. He had an RBI and a little check swing later in the game that allowed Freddie Freeman to score and add a insurance run to make it 4-0 there in the eighth inning. But yeah, my player of the game, I'm giving Walker Buehler that Dodger dog of the game.
Dodger dog of the game.
But offensively,
this episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
You got to give it to Freddie Freeman. Or you could go Andy Pajes goes 1-for-4. He had that RBI in this one. So, yeah, I think for this Dodgers team as a whole, 3-for-10 with runners in scoring position. They left 5 on base, but you're missing some key pieces tonight, and still, you shut out that Reds team. That is what has made this Dodgers team go on a run. That is what has led to this team really clicking. We know how potent this offense is. You got Shohei, you got Mookie, you got Freddie, you got Smitty, right? But it's the starting pitching. The starting pitching is what wins. The bullpen is what wins. And they just go off a stretch where you go 22 games where you allow 4 runs or left. They set that or less, and you set a new franchise record with that. Well, guess what? Yet another starter goes 6 innings. That's the 24th time this season where a Dodgers starter has pitched at least 6 frames. In those games, the Dodgers are 21-3. So that's the recipe for success, is having the starter give you some length. Having the starter give you a quality start going 6 innings. That's how you're going to win a ton of games. And, yeah, the big takeaway for me tonight is Walker Buehler is going to really be able to help this team. Walker Buehler, like I said, after his first start, could be your Game 3 starter. Could even be your Game 2 starter, if the way that things shake out, right? If he's pitching like this and you're seeing the velocity remain consistent, you're seeing the attack plan continue to evolve, there's no reason why Walker Buehler can't be one of the 20 best pitchers on the planet still after a second Tommy John surgery. And the other big takeaway from tonight is the curveball command was just so much better. The way he was working the corners, the way he was getting hitters to chase. He punched out Ellie De La Cruz a couple different times with that knuckle curveball. And it used to be his four-seam fastball that was his best pitch. Now his best pitch is that knuckle curve. Yes. And that really has been the recipe for success. And you look at right there, nice little looping curveball. You see him dotting sliders on the corners, fastball down the zone, chase with the knuckle curveball. You're seeing more knuckle curve, and that's really his chase pitch right now, is that knuckle curveball, and it's set up with command. When you, if you want to be the man, you have to have the command. You pair it with that knuckle curve. You pair it with those secondary pitches, and you have an effective pitcher. And that's really what stood out to me, was the improved command of that knuckle curveball. It accounted for 3 of his 7 strikeouts tonight, more strikeouts via that curveball than any other pitch tonight. And then the Dodgers bullpen, they made light work as well. The Dodgers bullpen, they were fantastic once again tonight. Give them a ton of credit. You had J.P. Feireisen, who continues to take steps in the right direction. But Grove, Daniel Hudson, J.P. Feireisen, they all pitched a scoreless inning tonight. The bullpen, they were outstanding once again. And, yeah, this Dodgers offense, they did a really nice job. I mean, Ashcraft really was doing an okay job, but the pitch count was up. You saw the Dodgers get that pitch count up to 41 after 2 innings, so it was only a matter of time that they were going to break through, and you saw it occur right there in the bottom of the 4th inning. So in the 4th inning, Freddie Freeman, he draws the leadoff walk. He sparks things that inning. A few batters later, Teoscar Hernandez, he draws a 1-out walk, and then with runners on 1st and 2nd, 1-2 count, Andy Páez, he singles to center, not trying to do too much, gets his bat on the ball, really good swing, and that scores a Dodgers first run of the night to make it 1-0 LA. Next batter, Gavin Lux, runners on the corners. He grounds out to the pitcher. That scores Teoscar Hernandez. So things are just trending in the right direction for Gavin Lux. I mean, he's putting the ball in play more. He's getting on base more. He's just making things happen right now, and you got to give him credit for that. That puts the Dodgers up 2-0, so they end up getting 2 runs on 1 hit there in that bottom of the 4th inning, really sparked by that Andy Páez single, Freddie reaching base early on that walk. And then the bottom of the 5th inning, Miguel Rojas, he's able to crank a double to left, a 1-out double to left for Miguel Rojas. And then a few batters later, Freddie Freeman, Fredericks of Hollywood, 1-1 count. He singled to center to plate another run for the Dodgers. Rojas scores to make it 3-0 LA. And then later in the game, the Dodgers get an insurance run the bottom of the 8th inning after a Freddie Freeman leadoff double to right. 1 out after a Will Smith strikeout. Teoscar Hernandez, little check swing single to right. That scored Freeman to make it 4-0 Dodgers, and that ends up being the final score. So what you saw tonight was, one of my big takeaways is, We talk a lot about Mookie. We talk a lot about Ohtani. We don't talk enough about Freddie Freeman, right? He almost gets overshadowed by how big their stardom is. And Freddie Freeman's still one of the best players in Major League Baseball. He's one of the best hitters of his generation, if not the best hitter of his generation. He's the active leader in hits with Miguel Cabrera having retired, right? And he had his fingerprints all over this game. I mean, he had the double to right, he sparked the late run. He had the walk, that sparked the run. He had the single, that sparked a run. So give Freddie Freeman a ton of credit. He was the player of the game on offense. Walker Buehler, he showed out on the mound. And this Dodgers team, they continue to win games. And I think, really, the biggest scare tonight was, of course, Andy Páez and Miguel Vargas, that miscommunication there in left field that could have gotten ugly, could have led to an injury. And Miguel Vargas, he goes 0 for 3 tonight. So first time back, it's going to take some time, but 0 for 3, at-bat quality, it was decent, but He's going to get some more opportunities, and we'll see what he's capable of. So let me know down below in the comment section, what are your thoughts on tonight's Dodgers win over the Cincinnati Reds? What are your big takeaways? Yeah, take a look at that play. I mean, what do you guys think? What do you guys make of this right here with Páez?
Páez puts his arm up, and he's probably got a verbal.
And Mickey Vargas here.
You just got to keep the arm up, right? He had it up, then he put it back down.
Little scary there. Now, a couple injury updates. Before the game, Dave Roberts said that Evan Phillips is on the right track, that he expects him to be back no more than 10 days. So we're closing in on less than 2 weeks for the Dodgers to get their best reliever back, their closer at this point, Fireman Phillips, Dr. Phil, Honey Bun, whatever you want to call him. He is on the way back. He said that if he had to guess, he would probably go out on a rehab, and it's contingent on how long he's going to be down for. So sounds to me like he's going to go on a rehab. Bobby Miller is going to do a three-inning sim game. So that's the next step for Bobby Miller. He's going to do a three-inning sim game and then find a rehab assignment after that. So three-inning sim game for Bobby Miller, then a rehab start. Evan Phillips, less than 10 days. Probably going to stretch it towards the brink there. Then you'll see him go on a rehab start. Clayton Kershaw threw a bullpen today. Dave Roberts said that everything is trending in the right direction for Clayton Kershaw. That's definitely some promising stuff. So, look, all their best relievers from last season are on the shelf. Bruiser Gratterall, Ryan Brazier, and Evan Phillips, and this team continues to stack dubs. Michael Grove, his stock is up. JP Fireyzen, his stock is up. Daniel Hudson, he continues to be a rock for this bullpen. So, yeah, give this Dodgers team a lot of credit. They just win with whoever they have out there. Buehler was shoving out from Craig Osborne. Mornings from Finland. What up, Dog? W2R rocking with us over in Finland. Appreciate you with that, my man. Fire take over there. Go Tani, City Lady, L.A. DC, any news on Sasaki? Hey, he had one of his best starts recently as far as his availability and what's his next step as far as is he going to be making his way to the show. There's no news on that. It's been very quiet on that front. But his last start, Roki Sasaki, he went 8 innings, allowed 1 run on 3 hits, had 12 strikeouts, had 18 swings and misses, 12 punches to just 1 walk, and threw 106 pitches. He also hit 101. So, yeah, hey, Roki Sasaki, this guy's the best pitching prospect on the planet, the best prospect on the planet. And it makes you wonder, with the way that Walker Buehler threw tonight, if he can pitch anywhere near this on a per-start basis for the duration of the season, he's going to set himself up for a really nice payday. He's going to set himself up for a multi-year deal worth north of $100 million. The offseason, you got Max Fried, you got Scherzer, you got some guys are going to be available, but really, it's not a really robust. I mean, Blake Snell probably goes back on the market. Walker Buehler could get himself a really nice bag this offseason, and if you do get Roki Sasaki, that means you got Tyler Glasnow, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. You got Shohei Ohtani coming back. You got Roki Sasaki. You got Bobby Miller. That's 5 ace-level pitchers right there. Do you really want to pay Walker Buehler $100-plus million when you still probably need a long-term solution at shortstop? You need to add another outfielder. You could add another bullpen piece. So, yeah, could get dicey. You could add some more offensive weapons. So, yeah, I don't want to say it's a last dance for Buehler, but if they get everyone they think they could get and everyone stays healthy – makes you wonder if he's priced himself out of the Dodgers. We got a $25 super chat from my man, Randy Hoffman. Appreciate you, my guy. I'm going to give you a comment to the show for that. Dodgers have more depth in starting pitching than anyone else. You go to the Landon Knax, then you go down to that level and what Gavin Stone has given this team. I mean, that is what they realize. They realize that you could never have enough starting pitching, that in a blink of an eye, look at Emmett Sheehan, look at Dustin May, look at Tony Gonsolin, look at Clayton Kershaw. I mean, it's just one pitch and it's over, right? They realize that it's about quantity at this point, and it's about having that insurance. They got the Apple Care, man. They got the highest level of insurance that you can get, man. They got that premium deductible when it comes to starting pitching, and that's why I was surprised about the reaction I got when I talked about the idea of trading for Justin Verlander if he becomes available, because it can happen so quickly, and there's only a finite amount of these starting pitchers at this caliber that truly can do it on a big stage. And Verlander's postseason numbers aren't great at all, but he's had his quality starts, and I'm not saying I'm pounding my fist down saying I want Justin Verlander, but it is just an example of, I would not be shocked if when the trade deadline rolled around that they were exploring adding some starting pitching, and it just makes you wonder kind of where this team is going to be, because you saw that record 24 times this year. The Dodgers starters have gone six innings or more. When that happens, they are 21-3. So quality starters win ball games. Altman is a much better defensive center fielder than Páez. Alex PBG, he is. And he's done it longer too, for a longer stretch. But Páez is a much more natural hitter, and teams value hitting over defense in 2024. Buehler's face replaced D-Mac's face on Will Smith's bobblehead. I love that. Páez started our scoring with an RBI single. Low blue. What up, D-Mac? Buehler looking good tonight. He was. I was so impressed with Buehler's outing tonight. I mean, Butane is such a competitor. He's such a craftsman. No one works harder than this guy. No one studies hitters harder than this guy. No one wants it more than this guy. So to see him go out there and achieve the success like he did tonight and be as effective as he was, this is something that he can build on. And I know this is a moment for him to say, you know what, let's not forget that, hey, I want to be, maybe I'm not glass now right now, but as he said after his first start back, hey, I want to get back in that conversation for who's the best starter on this team, right? Who's one of those frontline guys? And it's good to think he has that mindset. Brandon Chang says, I think he can still have double-digit strikeouts. I'm not a pitching coach, but if I can tunnel, I think he could be dominant, and the fastball still has life. 499, Brandon Chang. I totally agree with you. He's going to have nights where he's going to get double-digit strikeouts, but I also think for him, pitching to some contact is going to allow him to get deeper into games. It's going to shorten that pitch count, and then when he needs a strikeout, he can get a strikeout. I mean, we saw that today. I mean, the great pitchers are a mix of everything, right? You're not going to mow down every single hitter that you're going to face, because when you do that, you're going to see some deep counts at times. But the key is to get the strikeouts when you need them, right? I mean, after Herterby's got that single with two outs in the third inning, he had a runner on first, and he strikes out Benson with a four-seam fastball bottom of the zone. There in the fifth inning, after Fraley tripled, he's able to bounce back, and he got the foul to catcher, and he got India to ground out to second. So really, it's just being an outskitter and getting those punch outs in big situations when you need them. Because, yeah, when you miss bats, you're dominant. And when you miss bats, you don't put pressure on your defense. And look, that's what you want to do, especially with runners on in big situations. But it's an art form, right? I mean, there is something to being more of a pitcher than a thrower. I think Walker Buehler, though, it surprises me that so many people are saying that right now about Walker Buehler, that he's now all of a sudden become more of a pitcher than a thrower. And my question is, did you not watch Walker Buehler in 2022? Because if you're saying that he's more of a pitch and a thrower now, you really weren't watching that version of Walker Buehler that closely, because back in 2022, his four-seam fastball had already dropped to a usage rate of 33.8%. He was going with a 33.8% cutter, a four-seam, a 24.8% cutter, a 16.8% knuckle curve, a 11.8% slider, right? 2021, that's when you saw Walker Buehler kind of closer to the dominant Buehler. That's when he was throwing more four-seam at 44.4%. But Buehler hasn't been throwing fastballs more than half the time since 2020. So he's already started that process years ago. And it surprises me because this is really who he has been. Fire Roberts, DMAC for manager. Up Jason Diamond. David Sabatini, DMAC bobblehead night was the highlight of my day. Glad you had a good time. Give you a Dodger dog of the game. Give you a fire take right there. Walker Buehler and Kershaw. Let's go down here. Lux looking better. Good to see. That's from Douglas McWilliams. Yeah, I mean, look, you can see the confidence. You really can see the confidence with Gavin Lux. And I agree with you. It's great to see because, look, you want every star at every position, right? But that's impossible. You can't afford that. Even the Dodgers wouldn't do that, right? You need some guys that are under team control that you hit on that are going to give you some serious production on an affordable rate. And you're seeing Gavin Lux start to figure things out. I know he's a 200 hitter right now because 1-for-4 had the RBI tonight. And if you look at the way he's been trending of late, he's put together better swings, hitting the ball harder. You're seeing that bat speed and the timing start to get synced up. And if you look at his numbers in the month of May, recently, they've been a lot better, right? I mean, for the month, 231 at a 670 OPS, but that's up from 175 and a 464 OPS in April. So let's see what June brings for Gavin Lux. And Dave Roberts has already said they're looking at 150 plate appearances for him as far as when you give a good assessment of him. But we'll see. Anthony Keene, another great takeaway from tonight's game is they had a decent offense without Mookie being in the lineup. Anthony Keene, great point. I think this team relies so heavily on Mookie. And Mookie is, like I've always said, he's the straw that stirs the Dodgers' drink. Well, you got other guys stepping up. And I think, too, to add to your point, Anthony Keene, is not only did this team have a good night without Mookie, well, guess what? Shohei Ohtani goes 0-for-4, and Freddie Freeman steps up. Eddie Páez has a big hit. You have Kike giving you production. You have Gavin Lux giving you production. And that's what you want to see. Everyone in the lineup is not going to be hot at the same exact time, right? You're going to have cold streaks and hot streaks. It's just about everyone giving you quality ABs. And that's when you see an offense that's right at the top of the leaderboards in essentially every single offensive category. But yeah, great point right there. That's a fire take from my man, Mr. Antina. Reds are not bad for Matty Man Dodge. What up, DMAC from Rancho Mirage 760? Solid pitching, timely hitting. Let's go, Dodgers. Yeah, I'll give you a let's go. I'll give you a OU win for that one. All right, guys, couple more here.
Win.
And then we will be back tomorrow. I got a super chat right here. You know, all these super chats, guys, seriously, this is like unbelievable. Vargas tried to assassinate Páez to stay on the roster longer. I'm going to give you a fire take, but I got to give you a bro. And I got to give you a fire take for that fire one as well. Take. And yeah, it was scary, man. It was scary. I mean, don't run into Mr. Miguel Vargas right now. But it was Miguel Vargas definitely needing to let Andy Páez make that play, but Páez has to take charge and be a little more vocal too. I love how Space Force just deleted that Trinity comment. I don't even know what that even means. Bilal K, fans who like Lux are going to hype him even though Rojas' numbers are better, but since Lux is under team control and younger, it's case closed. Bilal K, there's more to it than that though. Miguel Rojas, he's been great this season. He's been as good as you could have hoped for in his role, but this team likes the versatility with him. They don't want to just plug him in to just one single spot, right? You want to be able to play him at third sometimes. You want to be able to play him at shortstop. You want to have him come off the bench and give guys some rest, right? They worry that at his age, you play him at shortstop every single day, that he is going to wear down. So they're trying to optimize what he has. So, look, hey, guys, they're 31-17. They're cruising in this division. I don't even really need to check the NL West standings anymore. I mean, they're going to run away with this division, okay? I mean, I said that at the beginning of the season, and you saw the way that the Padres, they got up for the Dodgers, and they didn't show up against the Rockies. The Padres are going to Padre, but I don't really need to check the NL West anymore. I'll check, of course, the National League standings, the league standings, but checking the NL West is like checking the weather in Los Angeles, right? It's, you know, it's going to be sunny. It's going to be sunny for the Dodgers. And all this to say is you need subplots, though. You need stuff to look for. And that shortstop position, let's continue to see how, one, Mookie develops, two, how it impacts his offense, three, do you notice at any point it starts to wear him down? Because Mookie has not made it to the finish line. I talked to Mookie Betts before the season, and he told me he wants to finish strong. He wants to finish when it matters in October, and he's determined to do that. And it just makes you wonder how much of a toll it's going to take to be an everyday big league shortstop for an entire season and maintain that level of play on offense. So, like I said, that to me is one of my big storylines I'm looking at for this entire season. But a couple more here, and I'll let you guys. It's Saturday night, man. Enjoy your Saturday night here. Pass on Verlander unless they legalize the sticky.
Dodger dog of the game.
It's a Dodger dog of the game. Grove looked good. Killed it tonight. I continue to be impressed with Michael Grove. I think that he has found his role as far as a one-inning reliever that can empty the tank. He goes an inning tonight, has two strikeouts, throws 11 pitches, 9 first strikes. And with Michael Grove tonight, 2 out of 3 on first pitch strikes, you're seeing the swing and miss, you're seeing the strikeouts. I think they have something potentially in Michael Grove. The key now is just continue to have him develop in that role. Don't ask him to go multiple innings. Don't ask him to do that. Be the best one-inning reliever you can be. And I know all these guys want to be starting pitchers. They all do. They all do, because that's where the money's at. But on the same token, all relievers, for the most part, are failed starting pitchers, except for Kenley Jansen. He's a catcher, right? There's some examples. But Victor Baños, what up, Victor? Hi, D-Mac. Good night. Buehler not only wins the game, but also a lot of confidence. Great point right there. It's the confidence. I love seeing the smiles from Walker Buehler there in the dugout. And it was great to see a 999 super chat from David Farrar. Have you seen the picture of the new City Connects all put together? That's a fire take. I'll wait till see the full uniform in real life, because we'll see. Personally, I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's a funfetti cake that I can't deal with, and I love funfetti cake, just not on my baseball uniforms. And
fire,
I will give you a fire take. Also, too, it's like, I mean, it's subjective. If you like it, cool. I love it for you, and I'm not judging you. You know, I'm more of a traditionalist when it comes to baseball uniforms, especially when, in my opinion, the Dodgers have the best uniform in the sport. Because you got that red, you got the wedding gown white, it pops, it's crisp, it's clean, and they're just so iconic. I just think you don't mess with tradition. And look, if you want to go crazy, just kind of go crazy on something that kind of makes sense. But I'll reserve judgment until I see the full thing at this point and learn about the inspiration behind it. Anthony Keene, I think Buehler almost as much as anyone on the roster loves being a Dodger. I wouldn't be surprised to see him staying with a hometown discount. Yeah, but he's also a smart businessman. He also wants to get paid. And when you're that age, you really get one shot to get that big $100+ million contract. If he continues to perform this way, you really see the Dodgers giving him $100-$150 million. If they get Roky Sasaki with all those guys coming back, that's like looking at a team with 6 legitimate aces. Let's not forget, they dropped a bag on Yoshinobu Yamamoto, making him the highest paid pitcher in baseball history this offseason when they inked him to a 12-year, $325 million deal. So, look, it's a good problem to have. At the end of the day, if he's going to get paid and he's going to sign with another team, it probably means he had a great year with the Dodgers and it worked out in the regular season and probably in the postseason. But if he goes out there, has a solid regular season with flashes like this and performs in the postseason, there's going to be a handful of teams that are going to will him to pay up big, because pitching is a premium. On top of that, too, I think teams realize, give me the post-Tommy John guys at this point. Give me the guys that just came off surgery, because we know that it's pretty much a rite of passage at this point, right? One of 3 pitchers are going to get Tommy John surgery. There's a good chance that your favorite pitcher is going to get Tommy John. So after the surgery, at least you know that probably the odds are you got a couple good years in that arm at the very least. But does Almond have any value at the trade deadline? Mr. Evan, FVNE. Good question. Tons of team control. Established himself as a above-average defender. Last year, he hit 23 home runs, finished 3rd in the Rookie of the Year. I think he does have some value. Just depends. I mean, look at Michael Busch. He thrived with another team. I can see Almond thriving in another team where he's getting everyday opportunities. He's allowing himself to develop against lefties. I think one thing that stunted him was they said he was going to be not a platoon guy. That's what Dave Roberts said during the spring. And then he was a platoon guy very, very quickly. But Joel Rodriguez, Lux is one of the worst offensive second basemen. Dodgers can do better. For the whole season, yes. Recently, though, he is trending in the right direction. And that's kind of what they're looking at. For me, we need stud outfielders, LTE. We do. I agree. And look, they have Mookie Betts. Talking about a stud outfielder that's playing shortstop. King Ohtani, got a couple more here. Space Force, D-Mac, get on it. They monitor your life. Trust me, I have an aunt. I have an aunt who thinks that birds, their eyes have cameras in them that can monitor everything. So I'm here for a juicy conspiracy theory. Trust me. Trade for Kikuchi. We love that. Nando, come on. Nando, why? Nando, why you do this to me, man? Double bruh. Double bruh. Diana looks like she's not here today, but that's going to do it for this episode of the Dodgers Nation postgame show. Michael Torres, I appreciate you, my man. AG Jordan, I appreciate you guys rocking with us here. Did a little Saturday show, 199 USD, when the CT3 Rancho Quakes bobblehead night. Okay, you got to get the finish him for that one.
Finish him.
But that's going to do it. A couple more here. Let's see. We got a couple walk-off shots. D-Mac, are you doing the shoey when Vargas hits a home run? Mr. Seabad, if Vargas hits a home run and the Dodgers win that game, I'll do a shoey. There you go. Mark my words. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Dodger Nation postgame show. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. We'll be back tomorrow after the game for sure. And we'll be doing more postgame shows, more shows than ever. And it's all thanks to you guys. So be sure to subscribe to the channel. Elephant Tens, DMAC is a man crush. No, I do not. No, I don't, Elephant. You're going to get one of these too. I laugh at out of pocket stuff. I'm not going to lie. That's just kind of how I am. But yeah, we got absolutely. I hope they show up in the playoffs for sure. Bye, Noah Ortega. Congrats on my bobblehead night. It was a great night for me, my bobblehead night. And yeah, it was a special night. I can't lie. Just being out there at Dodger Stadium and seeing my bobblehead and seeing all the fans with the bobblehead. I know I didn't get a hit on my bobblehead night, but still, it was really cool to see. I mean, look at my bobblehead, guys. Look at my bobblehead tonight here. Shout out to David Sabatini for doing that. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Dodger Nation postgame show. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. Remember, nothing brings us together quite like Dodger baseball. Hit that like button. Quote down below in the comment section, go Otani, so you're eligible for our next giveaway, the Otani Road Gray number 17 jersey. But that is going to do it. Remember, nothing brings us together quite like Dodger baseball. And until next time, think blue.